The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Members of the Savage Nation, Michael is off today, recharging his batteries, but he will be back as usual in his top form. Michael, if you're listening, my buddy, I just want to thank you once again, my friend, for the incredible, wonderful opportunity to fill in for you. Your shoes are so big. I can't tell you what an honor it is. And, you know, with this whole recent incident involving you being again re-banned in Britain under this phony conservative leadership of David Cameron, your legend just continues to grow. And as I have been telling people here in Washington, D.C., especially the so-called conservatives, your struggle is our struggle. And what they are trying to do to you in Britain is to delegitimize and criminalize freedom of thought, freedom of expression, and especially conservative ideas. And today it is you, but tomorrow it will be the others in conservative talk radio. It will be the others in Fox News. And what many conservatives do not realize, Michael, is that you are the sacrificial lamb who is being sacrificed on the altar of liberal multiculturalism. And that is why I've said it before, and I will say it again, my friend. Your fight is our fight. And to every conservative out there, and in particular, to the Republican Party, to the conservative movement here in Washington, wake up. Wake up. What are you waiting for? And to me, if these conservatives are really serious in November, if they are serious about defeating him, if they are serious about defeating the Democrats, then they should put in one of their manifestos that one of their top priorities will be to force the Secretary of State to urge Britain to rescind that ban. This ban must go. My friends, we have a jam-packed show for you today. You don't want to miss a second of it. I urge all of you to go to michaelsavage.com for some of the most cutting-edge stories you can read. One of them in particular has really grabbed my attention. Women, white men, Jews, even Hispanics are now abandoning Obama. Just go to michaelsavage.com. It's a very good commentary piece in today's New York Post. And my friends, this is what must be driving the liberals half insane. Here you have the spectacle of the President of the United States. Now think about this. The leader of the free world. The man who stands on the shoulders of all of our previous presidents and forefathers. In the greatest republic the world has ever seen. The beacon of freedom to everybody around the world. And how does he degrade his oath of office? How does he literally degrade his presidency and the stature of his office? He goes on a daytime TV talk show. The first U.S. sitting president to go on a daytime TV talk show. The View, with, as I call them, the five bimbos. Four liberal bimbos, one conservative bimbo. The five airheads who stand around and chat and gossip and literally say nothing. And I honestly, I ask myself, what are these, who watches that show? Who wants to see five cranky women go at it and gossip about Lindsay Lohan or gossip about Mel Gibson or gossip about which movie star is sleeping with who? That's all these people talk about. That and their Blackberries and how tough it is to raise children. That's all they talk about. And they're dieting. Have you put on 10 pounds? Have you lost 10 pounds? This is all these people know how to talk about. And this is what our dear leader does. The comrade in chief, our con man in chief. He goes on The View and he stands there and acts as if somehow this is part of a major PR offensive. That now he's going to reconnect with the common folk after the BP oil spill, after failing to reverse the recession that we're in, losing the war in Afghanistan, literally spending us into oblivion and into national ruin. As he stands there and destroys this country piece by piece, he really thinks he is so mad with power. He really thinks, no, he's going to go on The View. He's going to stand there with those five bimbos. And all of a sudden, the American housewife is going to love him again. Suddenly, he's going to regain that old glory. Somehow, he's going to regain that old touch and that old fame. All of that old sizzling support he used to have is all going to come back. My friends, he is like a drunken, mad Roman emperor who cannot see that he no longer has any clothes, who cannot see that the corruption and the rot is now so deep, his incompetence and ineptness is now so obvious that the American people now see him for what he is, a Marxist thug and a complete failure. And so what was the purpose of him going on The View? He now sees his poll numbers falling. And he thinks, under the advice of Rahm in the Nude Emanuel, probably naked when he was telling him this, as he walks into the Oval Office naked, walks into the West Wing naked, Mr. President, we're down with women. We're down with African Americans. We're down with Hispanics. We got to put you on some big, sexy daytime talk show. Let's do The View. And so he goes on The View. Now, who watches? To me, I don't have any time to watch television. Let me be perfectly frank with you. I hardly watch any television. But think about it. Who watches The View? It's on at 11 o'clock. Most people are working. Either you're on welfare, you're some deadbeat on welfare, or you're a housewife, usually a liberal housewife, because four of the hosts are liberals. So what is Obama trying to do? He's trying to appeal to women, to liberal housewives, and to people on welfare. And so he goes there. And you want to see the kind of tough grilling he got? This is the dear leader. Now, this is like a North Korea. Reminds me of North Korea or Cuba when they get treated with kid gloves by the media. Here is the dear leader on The View. And there's Joy Behar, the flaming liberal on the panel saying, you have done so much greatness for this country. You've done so much good for this country. You have given us health care. You've passed 200 laws. You've regulated Wall Street. You've saved us from impending economic disaster and collapse. How come the whole world doesn't know what a spectacular job you're doing? We should be screaming it from the mountaintops. Where is your attack dog to fight the evil right wing? Boys, roll clip 7.
You've really done a lot, I think. I mean, you signed 200 plus laws into being since you're in office. Right. Have financial reform has taken place. You got a health care. I mean, you've put two women on the Supreme Court. I could go on and on about your accomplishments. And yet the right wing, through Fox News and other outlets, they seem to be hijacking the narrative. On your side is the narrative. Where is your attack dog to come out and tell the American people, listen, this is what we did.
Joy, that's your job.
He's hilarious. Hey, Mr. President, our dear leader, I'll tell you what. When we impeach you, come this political beating you're going to get in November. When we impeach you, Chicago, when we send you back to Southside Chicago, I'll tell you what. We're going to make sure you get a slot as a nighttime comedian because you're hilarious. Oh, you're absolutely hilarious. What are these women talking about? The whole liberal media is his attack dog. CNN's his attack dog. MSLFBC's his attack dog. What? They control Congress. They control the judiciary. They control the White House. They control all the major organs of opinion in this country. The New York Times, the Washington Post, everybody's carrying water for this guy. And you mean to tell me that the reason why they think the American people have turned on him is because Fox News has a few pundits that criticize him? All of a sudden now, you have a few people on conservative talk radio and Fox News, and they've derailed his entire agenda? No. His agenda is faltering because he's failed. His health care program is a failure. His economic program is a failure. His ability to enforce the border has completely failed. His ability to tackle BP has completely failed. He's failed at everything he does. He's got the reverse Midas touch. Everything he touches turns to garbage. And now these people are trying to come up with this idea that somehow it's because of Fox News and conservative talk radio. No, my friends. He went on The View to try to resurrect his failing presidency. And even members of his liberal base, women, Jews, Hispanics, African Americans even, are now slowly turning against him. Why? They don't watch Fox News. They don't listen to Michael Savage. They don't listen to other conservative talk radio because they can see him for what he is. He's a complete failure. My friends, unemployment has risen under this man. Deficits are soaring. Investment is fleeing. Our border is a porous sore. BP's oil spill still has not been properly contained and capped. We are now losing the war in Afghanistan. We just had 66 soldiers die this month alone, the highest casualty rate in the 9-year-long war. My friends, he can't win wars. He can't run our economy. He can't protect the border. That's why he's losing support among his liberal base. And no amount of going on The View is going to change that. And so what is it that they have to play with? What is it that the dear leader has? They have one last card. One last card. And that is the race card. To say the criticism of me is because of my race. And now you see him on The View just hint at it, that we still have racism in America. The reason why people are turning against me is maybe they just don't like the color of my skin. Boys, roll clip 3.
When it comes to race, let's acknowledge that, of course, there's still tensions out there. Yeah. There's still inequalities out there. There's still discrimination out there. Yeah. But we've made progress. When you look at the next generation, interesting, when I talk to Malia and Sasha's friends, they have healthier attitudes around these issues than Michelle and than our generation does.
Yeah. It's getting better, but there's still a lot of problems. For example, people are opposing me. If you oppose me, I think there's a hidden racist in you. That's crypto racism. My friends, the question before the House is this. Why do you believe that even many liberals are turning on President Obama? And more than that, what did you make of his PR offensive on The View? Did he degrade the office of the presidency by appearing on that cheap daytime TV talk show? What's next? Jerry Springer and Maury Povich? You're listening to Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. What did you think of Obama's performance on The View? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Jeff in Chicago on line 6. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think Obama, Mr. President Obama, did an excellent job on The View last night.
Why, Jeff? I mean, are you being sarcastic or are you being serious?
No, I'm being very serious. I think.
Okay. What did you think that he did that was so spectacular?
I think he's cool as a cucumber. Even with all you people like Glenn Beck and yourself and Michael Savage attacking the man and trying to make his whole deal like some Bolshevik plan to destroy America. I think the man is as cool as a cucumber, you know?
Literally, I mean, anybody could have been cool as a cucumber. They fawned all over him. What do you mean he was cool as a cucumber? Tell me, did they, the only tough question he got was the one from Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and frankly couldn't respond to it when she said, you've created this new standard. You're no longer talking about creating jobs. It's saving jobs. Jeff, how can you find out? How can we find out how jobs are being saved? They're just making it up as they go along. No, he saved 30 million jobs, Jeff. No, 100 million jobs. 150 million jobs. Jeff, let me ask you one thing. Is this man not the most radical socialist president we've ever had? Are you going to deny that? Are you going to deny reality?
Well, I'm going to deny that with fervor. I'm going to deny that. This man
nationalizing health care, nationalizing the banks, nationalizing the financial sector, taking over the auto industry, racking up massive deficits, literally putting us on the verge of national ruin, pushing for cap and tax, pushing for amnesty to illegal immigrants. What's that, Jeff? Conservatism? What's that? Moderate centrism? He's a moderate now. He's a pragmatist.
He's trying to help this country out.
By bankrupting us, by destroying it.
Bush put us in.
Oh, here we go. There we go. There we go. Thanks for your call there, Jeff. There we go. It's like he never left the White House. It's all Bush's fault. That's all you have to say. Whenever we present the facts to see what a failure Obama has been, you can't defend him, so you point the finger at Bush. Yep. Jeff, I sense a little racism there. I sense a little racism. What is it? Is it because of Bush's color of his skin? Is that what you don't like? Oh, you don't like it when I turn the race card around on you, huh? Suddenly now you liberals feel uncomfortable with that, but you have no problem tarring the Tea Party movement. You have no problem tarring Michael Savage. You have no problem tarring me. Suddenly everything is about race when it comes to criticizing him. No, I'm sorry, my friends. I would say this about Obama if this was President Pelosi or President Harry Reid. Socialism is a disaster, and it doesn't matter who's in the White House. If you're pushing socialism, you're destroying America. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Did Obama degrade the office of the presidency by appearing on The View? What did you think of his performance? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Rich in New York. Rich, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Did he degrades the office of the presidency every time he opens his freaking mouth? Okay, I've never heard anybody so ambiguous every time he speaks. Race relations have gotten better, but this is still a racist country. Employment's at 10%, but we're making progress, you know, with that mystical job saved figure that keeps growing. Border security, we're not doing anything, the feds aren't doing anything,
Rich, come on now, Rich, you're off the page. The border's been more secure now than it's ever been, according to the dear leader. They're flooding it with Border Patrol agents and the National Guard. Rich, don't you understand that? It's never been more secure.
Have you ever heard somebody say so much without saying anything, speak to both sides of an issue? He's your prototypical politician. Let's say everything. Let's say everything. That way, something I say is going to appeal to everybody.
No, Rich, thank you for that call. And apparently it's not working. As I was just talking about it with, he's now down to 43% support among Hispanics. I mean, what has he been doing but trying to court the Hispanic vote, trying to cater to the Hispanic vote? That's what the lawsuit against Arizona is all about. They know perfectly well it has nothing to do with racial profiling. They know what a mess the border is. They're actively encouraging illegal immigration along the border. They know that Arizona Governor Jan Brewer is completely right. Why did they sue? Because they wanted to court the Hispanic vote, to make them think that somehow They were living under an emerging apartheid system in Arizona just to inflame ethnic and racial tensions. But it's not working. The Hispanics are deserting him, 43%. And like as basic as this, the Hispanics, look, say what you want. Hispanics are people rooted in family, rooted in God, rooted in tradition, rooted in marriage. What's the most important thing for them? Putting bread on the table. La familia, feeding the family. They can't put bread on the table with this clown in the White House. His economic program has failed miserably. Unemployment is soaring. The deficits are skyrocketing. Businesses are not hiring. The banks aren't lending. They're not stupid. They can see that. They can see the writing on the wall. They've gotten poorer under this man. That's why his approval numbers are falling. But Rich, you touched on something. He is all things to all people. But look how he's willing to play the race card. And to say things, this is to me what is most galling. He says things that if any other president had said it, there would be literally a public uproar. Listen to this comment. This is the most stunning comment I have ever heard a president of the United States say. Boys, you know the clip. Roll it, baby.
And the interesting thing about the African-American experience in this country is mm-hmm. that we are sort of a mongrel people. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? We're all kind of mixed up.
Yeah.
And now, that's actually true for white America as well, but we just know more about it.
Oh, we're a quote-unquote mongrel people. Can you imagine if a white president said that? Can you imagine the uproar? So what is it, Mr. President? Literally now, Hitler must be laughing in his grave. Are we now looking at bloodlines? Are we now looking, how much black blood? How much white blood? How much Hispanic blood? How much European blood? How much German blood? How much African blood? How much Arab blood? Is that now what we're looking at? Is that now the new standard in Obama's America? My friends, look how he's trying to pit the races against one another. That's all he's done. He refuses to prosecute the Black Panther Party, even though we have them on tape, openly threatening white voters and with a baton in military fatigue, yelling out obscenities, preventing people from voting. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. According to J. Christian Adams, one of the top career attorneys in the Justice Department, as the whistleblower, he himself said it, and there are other lawyers that will testify to this. They have gotten the order from Eric Holder himself. If it's a black defendant and a white victim, you do not prosecute. Drop the charges. Look how he sues the government of Arizona. Look how he caters to the Hispanic vote. Look how he jumped so readily to defend his professor friend, Professor Gates, against the white Cambridge cop. When it comes to dividing us along race and class, it is classic Saul Alinsky radicalism. It is divide and conquer. My friends, he is trying to break us from within. And can you imagine a president saying that? Referring to African Americans that way? Where is Al Sharpton? Where is Reverend Jesse Jackson? Where are all these race mongers? Where are they? All these race hustlers. Where's the NAACP? Where's Shirley Sherrod? Tell me, where are they? All of a sudden, they're quiet. Can you imagine if anybody else had said that, what he said? My friends, it is utterly disgusting. It is utterly disgusting and un-American. And the fact that most people in the media have been silent about it just shows you the death of journalism in America. Let's go to Susan in Chicago. Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thank you. I do think Obama degraded the presidency by going to appear on that TV show. He canceled a promise to make a personal appearance before the Boy Scouts of America. They were celebrating their 100th anniversary, year anniversary, in Washington, D.C. He had pledged to speak before them, and he canceled that to go up and film that TV show. You know, we have local Boy Scout groups that were very disappointed because they were from the president's state. They were going to be in the front row for his speech. But, you know, he sent him a video, and he went on this dumb TV show. I think it's very disappointing, breaking a promise. 45,000 Boy Scouts were disappointed, no doubt. The President of the United States couldn't appear before them.
Susan, what he did, Susan, I want to thank you for that call. Look, it was his behavior was absolutely disgraceful. Again, he's thumbing his nose at America. Here's a great traditional institution, the Boy Scouts. To me, one of the great symbols of America. They have done such good for this country. And again, he thumbs his nose at it. And this is a man who hates traditional America. He hates American capitalism. He hates American democracy. He hates our founding fathers. He hates our heritage. He runs around. He's the only president, the only sitting president, to go on foreign soil and apologize for the United States. He apologizes to the Europeans. He apologizes to the Muslim world. He apologizes to the Chinese. His own envoy in negotiations with China, Michael Posner, apologized for Arizona's immigration law to the Chinese, who literally have millions in gulag and slave labor camps. And we're apologizing to them? So to me, his decision not to go to the Boy Scouts is just one long line of how this man utterly disrespects and despises this country. But I'll tell you why he didn't go. Susan, let me give all of you members of the Savage Nation an inside scoop. It's an open secret here in Washington, D.C. The liberal Democrats would not allow him to go for this reason, because of the Boy Scouts' position on having homosexual Boy Scout leaders. It's why now they've become public enemy number one for the gay lobby. So by not going, he's pandering to the gay lobby. By going on The View, he thinks he's pandering to the people on welfare and to the liberal housewives. Everything he does is to target specific groups. Notice he never puts America first. Never, never does he put patriotism first. It's always politics before patriotism, power before patriotism. It's always about him and cementing his socialist revolution. Mr. Obama, if your mother didn't tell you, I'm going to tell you. You are the bankrupt leader of a bankrupt regime. And come November, you are going to get a political beating that you and the Democrats so richly deserve. Let's go to John in New York on line six. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm good. How are you, John?
Star.
Well, hold on now. You see, John, look, that's the problem, because I believe when you get into war, you should fight to win. And so they're going to, they don't want me. Listen, Obama would never have me in the military, John, because I'm not handing out medals for civilian medals to troops saying how many civilians you didn't kill today. Never mind. I don't want to see you kill enemy people. I don't want you to kill jihadists. I want to make sure you don't kill some poor cave dweller. That's the only thing that matters. Don't kill some poor peasant. That's the only thing that matters. Whether you get killed, that's something else. That's too bad. But this is the military that we have now because of Obama. This is what he's done for us, John. That's very politically incorrect, what you just said now, a five-star general. No. Again, five stars. That means you're better than four stars or three stars. We're all equal in Obama's America, John. We're all zero-star generals. Zero. Zero. Nothing. Nada. Zero. That's what we're going to be worth pretty soon under this man's leadership. But what's on your mind, John?
Okay. Politics is like a gas gauge. Those to the left are empty and lost. Those to the right are full and ready. This guy, Jeff, that called in before, is a typical person that has his hand out all his life looking for something. He probably drives a good car, lives in a nice house, and has a cushy job, but his hand is still out. Still out. What we need to do in this country is raise the Titanic, put it all back together, put all these skunks in this country on it with no lifeboats, and reenact the whole darn thing. Go back
Thank
to
you.
1912.
Thanks, John. No, look, I mean, you know, look, here is the problem in a nutshell. This is the problem with socialism and with the welfare state, is that essentially it forces the productive segment of society to subsidize the unproductive. That's what happens. You tax those that work, you tax those that produce, and redistribute the wealth to those who don't. And so what happens is essentially you create a society of war of all against all. It's groups waging war against one another. The parasites trying to live off those that produce, that try to live off the fat of the land. And so what essentially is Obama? What is his socialist vision? It's that of Chavez. It's that of Castro. It's that of many European states. You tax the middle class. You break their back to subsidize and support your political supporters. Illegal immigrants. People on welfare. People on drugs. Federal bureaucrats. People who work in government. The unions. The environmentalists. The homosexual lobby. In other words, all of those that are literally unproductive and useless. That's Obama's socialist agenda in a nutshell. And that's why, my friends, the problem with Obama, you see, this is what the left can't get. And they don't want to get it. Because once you get this fundamental point, it destroys their entire worldview. The problem with Obama is not the color of his skin. Nobody gives a damn. They're living 40 years ago. Most Americans today are not racist. In fact, we're the most unracist country in the history of the world. I've always said this to liberals. Show me one country, one, not two, not three, one, that has treated minorities better than America. Name me one. We are the most racially just country in the world. The problem with Obama is the color of his politics. And as I said before, if this was President Pelosi or President Gore or President Reid, you would see the same Tea Party movement. You would see the same amount of opposition. You would see the same amount of unpopularity. You would see the exact same reaction. Because, my friends, the color of his politics is deep red. And that red has destroyed every other society on the face of the earth. My friends, we are not immune from the laws of history. And to me, what is the great tragedy is that the greatest people on the history of the earth, with the greatest system of liberty ever invented, now have this phony, this con man in the White House. You know, my friends, I often ask myself, why is this afflicting America? Why? Why now? We're fighting two wars. Iran is on the verge of going nuclear. We are now at a perilous crossroads in our history. I believe that God is trying to teach us a lesson. You want to see what socialism is like? Let me give you just a taste. So that we learn once again the precious value and blessings of liberty. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break. Savage.
I'm so optimistic about America because I'm optimistic about the American people. Every time I travel, every time I get out of Washington and I sit down and I talk to folks, they are generous, they are strong, they are resilient, they are full of imagination, they are full of drive, they are full of pluck. And there's no reason why America shouldn't continue to be the greatest country on earth for decades and centuries to come.
Oh, yeah, especially under your inspiring leadership, dear leader. 1-800-449-8255. What did you make of Obama's performance on The View? This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to Jerry in Chicago on line 7. Jerry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I think Obama did pretty well. In terms of, you know, I don't believe that if someone opposes Obama, that they're racist. And I deplore statements that if you oppose Obama, You're a racist. I mean, you can legitimately oppose Obama for various different reasons. But what I see, Jeff, and I see among many people on the hard right, is this idea of they want to be called, and I think you too, want to be called racist. You want to be accused of being racist in your opposition to Obama, so you can become
a martyr. I want
to
be accused. Why would I want to be accused of being called a racist, Jerry?
Because you can attract people, because it's something you can play the defense. You can play the person who's been wrongly accused, and then you can defend yourself, rightly in most cases. But that's so I think that's a common idea. That's a common idea on the right wing.
Jerry, let me ask you this. Has the Tea Party not been called racist? Did Robert Gibbs not smear the Tea Party? Did Eric Holder not smear the Tea Party? I mean, watch MSLFBC, watch CNN. All they do is use the R word. All they do is say race, race, race. Are you honestly telling me that we want to be called racists, which is one of the worst things to be called in America, to have our character completely impugned? But let me ask you, Jerry, but beyond that, you said he performed well. What was so impressive about his performance on The View, Jerry?
Well, he took on a conservative person on The View.
He took on Elizabeth Hasselbeck? You're telling me that's a mark of statesmanship and courage? To be asked a question by that bimbo when she asked him a simple question? You keep saying you've saved so many jobs. Tell me, by what standard, by what criteria do you use to claim you saved all these jobs? And he couldn't answer it. And that, according to you, Jerry's a success? This guy handled himself in the line of fire?
Jeff, can I answer?
Well, go ahead, shoot.
Jeff, if it wasn't for the stimulus plan under Obama, we would probably be in another Great Depression right now.
Oh, prove that to me. Prove it to me. I mean, I could say that about anything. Jerry, listen, by that definition, if Bush was not in office, it would have been an economic calamity. Had it not been for George Bush, it would have been the end of America as we know it. He saved us from Armageddon, Jerry. You can't prove it. You are making stuff up. Look at the facts. Under his leadership, unemployment gone up or down? Up. The deficit up or down? Up. The misery index up or down? Up. He's a failure, Jerry, and everybody knows it but you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael, my friend, I just want to thank you once again for the incredible honor of filling in for you tonight. You have an absolutely outstanding show and just a wonderful audience. To all of you out there, members of the Savage Nation, you can read my column at the Washington Times every Friday. Just punch in my last name, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R. And you can go to michaelsavage.com, where you have some of the most important cutting-edge stories out there. A couple of them focus on Arizona and Arizona's immigration law. Not to tout my paper, but it is up there on michaelsavage.com. There is a story which was on the front page of our paper today. Memo outlines backdoor amnesty plan. This is a story that every American should be aware of. It is a chilling story. You want to see the kind of gangster regime that we now have in Washington, D.C. As all of you know, the dear leader, the con man in chief, has been pushing for, quote, comprehensive immigration reform, code for amnesty, to give a pathway to citizenship for nearly 20 million illegal immigrants. It is what he is pushing for. It is what the Democrats are pushing for, and what many liberal turncoat Republicans are pushing for. And yet, standing in front of them, like a brick wall, is the overwhelming majority of the American people. Most Americans understand that we are now in a state of war, that we are facing an illegal invasion of unlimited third world immigration into this country, and that the front lines of that war are being fought out along the border states, California, Texas, but especially Arizona. And that's why Arizona had to pass their immigration law to give law enforcement and the people of that state the ability to defend themselves from drug smugglers, human traffickers, murderers, rapists, thieves, burglars. My friends, the Mexican drug cartels are operating with impunity on our own soil. We have photographs. Border Patrol agents have shown me photographs of literally coyotes and Mexican drug gangsters, drug lords, with the Mexican military in their Mexican military fatigues, with machine guns and helicopters and jeeps in forward positions in Arizona, 20, 30, 40 miles in, looking across the desert, helping drug smugglers and human traffickers come into this country. And our government does nothing. Phoenix has become the kidnapping capital of America. The streets of Arizona are being overrun by gangs, murderers, rapists. I have people on the border state who email me all the time from Arizona saying, if we take a vacation, if we leave our ranch for 1 week, when we come back, it's gone. Literally, they've cleaned out the house. The TV is gone. The bed is gone. One person said they even took the toilets. They literally unscrewed the toilets and carried the toilets off. The whole house was burglarized from top to bottom. My friends, they're in a state of siege down there. And rather than defending law-abiding Americans, rather than protecting this country, not only are they trying to ram amnesty down our throats, but have you noticed Obama doesn't seem to be in a particular rush? Nancy Pelosi seems cool as a cucumber. Have you noticed the Democrats? They had to get health care through. They had to get financial regulatory reform through. They had to get every socialist proposal through. But suddenly when it comes to amnesty, they're laid back. They're not in that fast of a rush. They seem to have cooled their jets a little bit. Why? Well, just go to michaelsavage.com, because my friends, the skeletons are out of the closet. Now we know what is really going on. There is now a memo that has been written within the Citizenship and Immigration Services Department by key staffers saying we can pass amnesty by circumventing Congress. What we can do effectively is have amnesty through the back door. We can empower the executive branch, the president, to now either give mass pardons to people who are in this country illegally, or what they more prefer to do. Here's their preferred tool. It's called deferred action. And what they mean by deferred action is this. Instead of prosecuting people for being in this country illegally, you defer it. And you defer it based on categories of groups. So what they're saying is, here's going to be step one. The president will come out and say, we will now defer all prosecutions against students who are illegal immigrants, even though they came over with their parents illegally as a child. If they're now in college, we are going to defer prosecution. We're going to keep them in this country. And even if we find out they're illegal, too bad. We are going to defer prosecution. We're going to give them essentially a waiver. And then they want to do it piece by piece. First, the college students. Then everybody who works as a domestic help. If you're a maid, then you'll get deferment. Then if you hold a job, then you'll get deferment. And this way, piece by piece, they're going to pass de facto amnesty. In other words, They want to do an end run around Congress. They want to give amnesty to 20 million illegal immigrants and not even have a vote on it. So the fact that 75% of the American people vigorously oppose amnesty, too bad. To hell with you. The fact that even members of the Democratic Party oppose amnesty, because some of those from the rural states know the economic damage that it's doing to this country. To hell with you. In other words, you are now seeing the beginnings of a socialist dictatorship in America. Nobody else besides Michael Savage has the guts to say it. I'll say it. What you are now seeing is a Chavez-style dictatorship here in America. I mean, look around you. The Black Panthers are not being prosecuted. You now have them openly intimidating conservative talk radio and going after Fox News. You now have them looking to pass the Fairness Doctrine. You now have them passing legislation like the massive takeover of healthcare against the expressed wishes of the American people. Now they're even suing the government of Arizona. Now Arizona has been blocked by a federal judge, Susan Bolton, from defending themselves. You cannot even ask an illegal immigrant for their residency papers or their proof of legal status. The cops can't even ask them that. My friends, we are unilaterally disarming in front of an invasion. And who has been leading the way? Outside of the government, outside of the Obama administration, outside of the liberal Democrats, outside of the corporatist Republicans, who? Maybe the most destructive organization in America, the ACLU. When you think about the ACLU, have you noticed this? They always support the most radical anti-American issue out there. When it comes to flag burning, there they are. You have a constitutional right to burn the flag. Prayer in school? Absolutely not. Oh, you, God forbid you should say the Our Father in school. Oh, 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 that's the beginning of a fascist theocracy. It's Nazism. It's Auschwitz. It's Auschwitz. You're forcing these kids against their will to actually say the Our Father. Oh, oh, we can't have that. You can't mention God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, no, it's going to offend the atheists. It's going to offend the liberals. That's offensive. That's offensive. Oh, but when it comes to a Muslim jihadist, then it's a different story. Then they have to be given full legal constitutional rights. Even though they're foreigners, even though they're killing Americans in Afghanistan and Iraq, even if you're the 9/11 mastermind like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, 3,000 Americans, the blood on your hands, he gets the full rights of an American citizen with a trial several blocks away from the site of Ground Zero, from the site of his atrocity. There's the ACLU. Give Khalid Sheikh Mohammed all the lawyers that he needs, paid for by the taxpayers. And of course, if you're the government of Arizona and you're trying to defend your citizens from these drug smugglers and rapists and murderers, no, 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 no. There's the ACLU. They're not siding with Americans. They're siding with the criminals and the lawbreakers. And so now you have an alliance of the ACLU, pro-immigrant groups, big business, big labor, and the Obama political machine, not only blocking the people of Arizona, but now involved in a plan, a secret plan to strip Congress of its power to decide the issue of immigration and decide the issue of amnesty, and now have it only come from the White House. My friends, this is an attempt to now permanently transform America into a multicultural socialist dictatorship. And the shock troops of Obama's socialist revolution will be the army of illegal immigrants. And so now they want to give them amnesty through the back door. And as all of this is going on, you want to talk about a traitor. You want to talk about somebody who sides with Mexico against America. You want to talk about a radical anti-American leftist. Here is Congressman Luis
Gutierrez, Big Luis, is now coming out and saying, you know what? We should register these 12 million supposed undocumented workers. They're just undocumented. They're not illegals. They're undocumented. They don't have their documents. That's all. They forgot them in Mexico. They just forgot them. We should register them and put them on the path to citizenship. Boys, roll clip 17.
Let's end 12 million undocumented workers just walking in this country. We don't know who they are. Register them with the government. Have them pay taxes. Have them learn English. Have them make sure that, we give a background check on them. Let's do what we need to do at the border. Let's make sure that never can happen again by putting a biometric card. Everybody's got to swipe it before they get a job. And if you don't swipe that card, you go to jail as an employer for hiring somebody.
I get it. We put the employers in jail, but not the illegal immigrants. I got you. I got you, Luis. That's right. Slam the capitalist. Slam the capitalist dog. The capitalist pig. Down with the capitalist pig. I understand that, Luis. My friends, look at how the Democrats are even telling us, whether you want it or not, we are going to register them and we are going to defer prosecution and eventually we will give them amnesty, whether you want it or not. And my question to you is a simple one. Why is the liberal left, why is Obama so determined to pass amnesty? And do you support Arizona's struggle to defend their borders? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to Sal in New York on line two. Sal, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How are you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm good. How are you, Sal?
I'm doing good. I was listening to what they were saying, the callers, and I made up an acronym of what's wrong with Obama and his administration. We are living in a REFCO community. REFCO means racism, entitlement, victimization communities. He always brings race whenever he's on the defense, like whenever somebody attacks him, it must be racism. Entitlements, the illegal immigration, the situation in Phoenix is they're entitled to be here. And the victimization, people who are being hurt, they're victims. People don't take responsibility for their actions. You understand?
Sal, you're completely right, and I want to thank you for that call. Look, it's victimology is the essence of liberalism. What are they doing now in Phoenix? Now you have protesters literally filling up the streets of Phoenix, pro-immigrant, pro-illegal immigrant protesters. So let me get this straight. You violate our laws. You come into our country, bankrupting our education system, bankrupting our welfare system, bankrupting our healthcare system. Our ER rooms, our emergency rooms are literally overcrowded, are poisoning our streets with drugs, gang warfare, violence, taking away jobs of honest, hardworking Americans. And you're the victims. This is incredible. I've never seen this before in my life. And here is what I would say to every one of those pro-immigrant right groups. I would say, I would go on Phoenix and I would say this. I am going to offer you in America what Mexico offers their illegal immigrants. That's it. The same thing. Because in Mexico, they deport their illegal immigrants. In Mexico, in fact, many of them rot in jail for violating their borders. So that's it. I'm a Mexican now. What Mexico wants, I want. What Mexico has, we should have. That's it. That's all I'm saying right now. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. My friends, things are heating up in Phoenix after Judge Susan Bolton ordered that the Arizona law be blocked. Pro-immigration rights protesters are now pouring out onto the streets of Phoenix, and they say they will not stop until the law is completely eliminated and gotten rid of. Boys, roll.
Several protesters have been arrested at this time that I can tell. It seems that some more could be heading in that direction. What were expected to be peaceful protests today are definitely turning in another direction. Their main focus is just getting their point across that just because the judge made her ruling yesterday, that does not mean their fight is over, and they are not going to give up without a fight. They want this law gone completely.
There you go. It sounds like an absolute pandemonium. It's like a war zone down there. These people are like rampaging animals. You would think, living in a civilized society, that they would say to themselves, well, hold on now. The gringo is paying for my welfare check. The gringo is paying for my kids' education. The gringo keeps giving me all of these jobs. The gringo is the one that's basically financing me on health care. I can bring my family over, get treated in an emergency room instead of rotting in Mexico. You think they would be grateful to the dumb gringo. But no, and where, to me, where's the American people? That's what I find stunning. Where are the people of Arizona? I would go out there and say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We're under assault. We're under siege. We can't walk our streets at night. Our homes are being burglarized. Our cities are being poisoned by drugs. Our social services are being bankrupted. And you have the gall to still protest us? My friends, look how we are slowly becoming a colony of the New World Socialist Order. That's what you are now seeing. Literally, you are now seeing us become a province of George Soros's global empire. And so you have a puppet in the White House who is strangling American capitalism. He is destroying our national sovereignty. He is wrecking our military. And he is essentially allowing immigrants to come in, illegal immigrants, to pour in across our border. And when we try to do something, his answer is a simple one. Like Putin would say, "Nyet, nyet, nyet." That's all he knows, my friends, is to create a permanent underclass in America, dependent upon the Democratic Party, dependent upon this new socialist regime. He is selling us right down the river. And if you noticed, my friends, look at the last 18 months. Who has benefited from him being in office? I don't mean the people on welfare. I don't mean the unions. I don't mean the environmentalists. I don't mean all the cronies that back the Democratic Party. Internationally, who's been benefiting at our expense? Communist China. They're buying up all of our government bonds because of our massive deficits. Putin's Russia, filling the vacuum that we are now leaving. The jihadists in the Middle East. The Saudis, who are now literally giving us more oil, more gas than ever because of the silly moratorium in the Gulf of Mexico, which is driving up the cost of gas, which is preventing us from drilling here at home. The Hitler of Iran, he's laughing at us right now. The government of Mexico. Hey, we don't have to feed our own people. Let the dumb gringo do it. We can be corrupt. We can be socialist thugs here. Let's send all of our people across the border. The dumb gringos will take care of it. And if a peasant like Jan Brewer, some patriot, should rise up and say, no, we have to protect our border. It's okay, because our guy in the White House will sick the Justice Department after her. Don't worry about it. The dumb gringo's not going to stop us. Mexico, Iran, China, Russia, everybody is feasting off the carcass of America. My friends, it is time traditional America woke up. The eternal America, the real America, the historical America, middle America. And let's take our country back. My friends, they have had their way with us for too long. And come November, I am now warning the Republican Party. I'm warning Lindsey Graham. I'm warning John McCain. I'm warning all of these hustlers in the Republican Party. Your days are numbered. If you don't balance the budget, if you don't protect our border, if you don't repeal Obamacare, we are going to do to you what we did to the Whigs 150 years ago. We are going to form a third party, and you are going to see a constitutional party, a conservative party, a Tea Party, whatever you want to call it, emerge, because conservatives will no longer be silent. We want our country back, and we want it now. Let's go to Mike in North Carolina. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fine. I just want to comment on this border stuff.
Sure.
I was a non-commissioned officer in the 37th Cavalry back at the end of the Vietnam War. I was stationed in El Paso, Texas for 2 years and then sent overseas and on the east and west German border, which, of course, doesn't exist anymore. But, in those days, border meant border. And the bottom line is, it's a border. You protect it. When I was over in Germany, they shot people for going over that thing. And
Mike, everything what you're saying is such self-evident common sense. Now, why do you say it? Because what you're saying is what practically every listener on the Savage Nation is saying. That's what's on their mind. Because you're a patriot. You're a red-blooded American patriot. And you understand what every other major political philosopher has understood. This is not rocket science. A nation is defined by its borders. You take away the border, you take away the nation. There's no getting around it. So what are they doing? Why do they want to eradicate this border with Mexico? Why? Why? Is it because they love all these Mexicans? Really? You honestly think Barack Obama and Al Gore and Nancy the Piranha Pelosi and Dirty Harry Reid, you honestly think that they love these Mexican immigrants? No. Look how they send their kids to the most privileged schools possible. Practically all white. Look how they live in their exclusive neighborhoods. Hey, they're not surrounded by third world immigrants. Oh, they're not living in a barrio. They're not living in some inner city. No. When it comes to them, no. They want to be with their own, quote, people. Upper middle class liberals, elitist liberals, rich liberals. No. They talk diversity, but they live a very different lifestyle. Why do they want all of these Mexicans coming in here? Because they understand that if you import that much foreign labor, if you import that much of a foreign population, you destroy American culture and the American economy as we know it. You're importing third world poverty. When you import third world poverty, what does it logically lead to? A massive socialist welfare state. More power for the Democratic Party. More power for Barack Obama. More power for the liberal regime. My friends, this is all about power. And in the end, they despise this country to its very heart and soul. They honestly believe. I deal with these liberals in Washington all the time. If I was to sit down now with the dear leader, if I was to sit down here, first of all, he would talk about how much he loves Islam. If I was to sit down with Barack Obama, how when he grew up, he loved Islam. He loved Indonesia. He hates Christianity. He hates America. But if we sat down and he had a few drinks and we loosened Barack up a little bit, loosened the dear leader up, what he would tell you is this: America is a racist, genocidal, imperialist country. It's based on the slaughter of Indians, the enslavement of African Americans, the exploitation of minorities and women. He despises our Constitution. He despises capitalism. He despises our entire way of life. He even holds our democracy in contempt. You can tell the way he talks. You can tell the way he acts.
What was the first thing he did? Now think about this. You're the first African-American president in the United States. You ride into power with all of this goodwill and support from so many in the American people, so many people abroad. You would think you would go to a picture of George Washington, right? Isn't that what you would do? I would do. And you would kneel and you would say a prayer to the Our Father. And you would thank him for the blessings of being an American. And what a solemn oath and obligation you have. No. What did he do? Literally, the first thing he did was take a bust of Winston Churchill, the man who stood up against Hitler, the man who saved the West from fascism, and he sent it back to England. What he did with that gesture was he was telling us, we are a colonial power. We are an imperialist power. I am not a warmonger. I will not defend the West. I stand with the third world colonial victims. I stand with everybody but America. My friends, that's what he is at his core, a radical anti-American leftist. And that's why under his administration, not only will the border never be protected, you will see a desperate effort to pass amnesty through the back door. Let's go to Barbara in Arizona on line 7. Barbara, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to get a story out there that my husband just told me when he got home, that some activists out here tried to actually literally kill motorists on the roads by putting some stuff out in the road to like damage their vehicles and kill people. And they sent a letter in stating that they were responsible for the act, that that's what they planned on doing was killing people. And this media out here did not even pick it up, say anything about it. All I thought was on the YouTube where they got some license plates of some of the vehicles, but will they be prosecuted? Probably not.
Barbara, look, I'm not surprised, and I want to thank you for that call. The media has been lying about this story and covering it up from the very beginning. Look, Barbara, you know better than I do. Just go down to Arizona. Here's what the media will not tell you. Okay, if this is such a racist law, let me ask everybody in the liberal mainstream media this. Not only do the overwhelming majority of people in Arizona support it, tell me, why do the majority of legal Hispanics support it? Tell me, why? They can't answer that one. Forget whites, forget African Americans, forget Asians, forget anybody else. Why do legal Hispanics in Arizona support this law? I agree with you, not as strongly as other groups, I'll concede, but still, the majority of legal Hispanics support this bill. Forgive me. Why do they oppose the actions of Obama and the Justice Department? Why do the majority of legal Hispanics support this bill? Because, my friends, there is a war going on there. What the media is not showing you is all of the drug cartels, all of the shootings, all of the burglaries, all of the rapes. My God, we're becoming like Tijuana. Literally, people in Arizona are being kidnapped, Americans, and held hostage by these animals in the Mexican drug cartel and then held for ransom. You want your daughter? $20,000. $20,000. Or I cut her head off. I cut her head off. Luis, cut her head off if I don't get $20,000. My friends, we are becoming literally the United States of Mexico. And the people of Arizona are saying, is this not our country? Do we not have a right to defend it? Do we not have a right to live in dignity and peace and freedom? Isn't this what the Constitution guarantees us? Members of the Savage Nation, I want you to understand one thing, because I'm going to say something now that no one else in the media has said. I am a nationalist. I am a union man. The worst thing that could ever befall this country is for me to see it break apart. But today, I have a column in the Washington Times. It's called, Should Arizona Secede? And here is my warning. You heard it right here on the Savage Nation first. I'm not saying today. I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying 3-4 years from now. But if you continue to see judicial activism, the federal government continue to deny states like Arizona the ability to protect and defend themselves, if they continue to ram their liberal values down the throats of the American people, you are going to see states in this union come to the conclusion we have a secession of the heart is already taking place. People feel alienated from the federal government. And the more Obama stays in power, the more the liberal regime stays in power, you are going to hear the secession word pop up. My friends, this is very serious stuff. Either we protect our borders and defend this nation, or believe me, we will dissolve into a thousand different pieces. You are seeing the balkanization of America right in front of our very eyes. And my message to the liberals is a simple one. One culture, one people, one nation. America, now and forever. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
It's a bad law enforcement law. I believe it mandates and requires local law enforcement or puts them in a position many do not want to be placed in. When I was dealing with laws of that ilk, most of the law enforcement organizations in Arizona at that time were opposed to such legislation.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. Well, of course, that was Janet the Nanny Napolitano. Napolitano was saying it's a bad law. Arizona law is a bad law. Even though she never read the law. She hasn't read the law. She doesn't know what's in the law. It's a bad law. It's a very bad law. Puts too much pressure on local law enforcement. All that racial profiling that's banned in the law, by the way. But let that go. Too much pressure. The cops are going to just collapse. They can't. They're going to buckle under all that pressure. My friends, look how they are willing to lie and distort and manipulate to try to obfuscate the reality of the situation. We are under siege. We have a right to self-defense. And if the federal government won't do it, then the states have no choice but to do it themselves. Let's go to Steve in Portland, Oregon. Steve, I got about a minute. Go, baby.
Okay, Jeff. This flooding the country with illegal aliens is the second part of a three-step plan for welcoming in the New World Order. And the reason that they want to do it is they want to devalue your citizenship. If you have a third of the country that doesn't have a citizenship, then your sovereignty and your citizenship doesn't mean much when you want to switch to a New World Order.
Well, Steve, thanks for that call. Look, you already have the creation of a supposed European Union or a European citizen. Now they want to create a North American identity. They're already trying to push for a government to govern all of North America. They want a one currency for Canada, the United States, and Mexico. What they're trying to do is slowly destroy our national identity and our national sovereignty. That's obviously their plan. We know the game is up. And now the only question is, will they succeed? Are we going to go the failed way of Europe, Mexico, and the Third World? Or are we going to remain the most exceptional country in the history of the world? My friends, in a nutshell, that's the battle between the right and the left. That's the battle between conservatism and liberalism. You know what side I'm on. What side are you on? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage.
Savage. Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my buddy, for allowing me to fill in for you tonight. I can't tell you what an honor and a privilege it is. And you know, and I got to tell you, Michael made a wonderful suggestion, as usual, this morning, saying, you know what? When you're going to talk about the Chelsea Clinton wedding coming up this weekend, the Godfather theme would be absolutely perfect. I mean, think about it, my friends. Here you have Chelsea Clinton getting married to a shyster lawyer. Mark Mezvinsky is his name. Now, many of you may say, well, you know, Jeff, who cares about Chelsea Clinton getting married with Mark Mezvinsky? What does this have to do with me, with America, with the problems facing this country? My friends, this is how the gangster elite perpetuate their rule upon America. This is like a crime syndicate. They are marrying each other. The families are just marrying one another. It's almost incestuous. And so who is Mark Mezvinsky? He's a shyster lawyer and an investment banker who now works at Goldman Sachs, works on Wall Street, has made an absolute fortune. His father is former Iowa Congressman Ed Mezvinsky. Now, you may say, well, Jeff, you know, who the hell is Ed Mezvinsky and who cares about Ed Mezvinsky? Ed Mezvinsky served 5 years in prison, almost 6 years, for swindling his investors, his friends, even his family members. He literally swindled people out of $10 million. He's nothing more than a crook and a swindler. He's another Bernie Madoff who sat in prison for nearly 6 years. He's a criminal who's out on parole. I mean, this is the kind of man Ed Mezvinsky is. So what is the liberal media covering this story? Oh, look how beautiful Chelsea is. Look how Chelsea's grown. Remember when we knew Chelsea when she was 12 years old and tall and skinny with her buck teeth? And she's now grown up into a full woman. Oh, my. This is like her royal wedding. This is like Lady Di and Prince Charles, but the American version. Handsome Mark Mezvinsky, the son of a swindler himself. Chelsea Clinton, the son, the daughter, forgive me. I keep confusing when I see her. She, man, is she a woman? But let that go. She's a woman. The daughter of Bill and Hillary Clinton, America's dynasty. It's all coming together. The gangsters, the criminals, all together at one big wedding. And who is the man that's hosting everything? Who is the man that's there inviting people and saying, hey, I'm going to take care of everything? The master puppeteer himself, the sugar daddy himself, the ultimate criminal, the ultimate swindler, the ultimate global socialist, George Soros. George is going to be there, the patriarch, overlooking everything. And so, my friends, what I find absolutely remarkable is this weekend, you are going to see a marriage of two crime families. You have Bill Clinton, who was impeached, who to me is a war criminal for what he did in Serbia and Kosovo, who to me is a man who sold sensitive nuclear technology to China. He's the one that unleashed this regime of free trade and open borders. He is the one that began taking America down the path to collapse and ruin. That shyster with his wife, who's been swindling the American people for decades, who at the Rose Law Firm made out like a bandit, who now has enriched herself upon the fat of the land. This is what Hillary and Bill are. And so there they are marrying their daughter off. She's now well taken care of. Oh, by the way, how is Chelsea making her money? They got her a job at a nice hedge fund with connections to George Soros. That's right. Nice big Bill Clinton supporter gave Chelsea a job. Nice cushy job at a hedge fund. So she can make a few cool million dollars. Marrying Mark Mezvinsky, who's at Goldman Sachs, making his money, the son of Ed Mezvinsky. Does anybody care that this man's father, the father of the groom, is a criminal, is a swindler, is somebody who just got out of prison?
The guy's a jailbird. Does that bother anybody? No, nobody even mentions it. No problem. And look how gaudy they've become. You want to see, you need more conclusive proof that America is entering the final stages like the ancient Roman Empire? Look at this wedding. It's like two dynasties coming together, two criminals coming together. The wedding is going to cost $3 to $4 million. Chelsea's ring, her engagement ring, is apparently worth $1 million. Just the ring. The bloody wedding cake. You want to talk about lavish? You want to talk about Caligula and Nero? The wedding cake is worth $11,000 alone. As Americans are losing their homes, losing their jobs, in one of the worst recessions since the Great Depression, people are actually going hungry. And look at how they're partying it up. Look how they're eating it up. They're going to be dancing into the wee night in the morning. How do you spend $4 million on a wedding? How do you spend $11,000 on a cake? What the hell? What is that thing? Full of crack cocaine? What the hell does that cake have? Literally, what's in that cake? I want to know what's in a cake that costs $11,000. What is it? The best opium you can get from Afghanistan? The purest? What do you want? The best Colombian cocaine? Refined? I mean, what is in that cake? And so when I see these two rival families coming together, my friends, you are now seeing for all the world that you have this political criminal family along with this other criminal political family. And together, that is the ruling class. They constitute part of the socialist ruling class that is slowly destroying America. And I ask you this, what is really the difference, in a nutshell, really, in essence, between the Clintons, the Mezvinskis, and the Don Corleones? Except, let's be frank, Don Corleone was a gangster and said he was a gangster. At least he was open and honest about it. These people are passing themselves off as honest businessmen or honest politicians. Boys, you know what? I'm thinking Bill Clinton on his wedding day. Is he going to pull a Don Corleone where he can't refuse any offer that comes to him? Where people have to go on their wedding day and make requests? Bill, Godfather, can you murder this person for me? Godfather, can you bump this person off for me? Boys, roll a clip for me.
I never wanted this for you. I worked my whole life. I don't apologize to take care of my family. And I refused to be a fool, dancing on the string, held by all those big shots. I don't apologize, that's my life. But I thought that when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone, something.
Another peasant of Anta.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop.
There wasn't enough time, Chelsea. There wasn't enough time. I wanted you to be Senator Clinton. I wanted you to be President Clinton. I wanted you to be the first woman in the White House after they blocked your mother. I said, God forbid, don't let them block my daughter. But time goes on, Chelsea. What can I do? I don't apologize. A man has his needs. Yes. Yes, I asked. I don't apologize to anybody. I did what I had to do to survive as a man. As a man. I had to do what I had to do. Now, Chelsea, you're marrying this man, Mark. I want to bless you on this wedding day. But what am I going to do about your mother? It looks like your mother may want to divorce me. I don't want that. But she's saying I was president, but she never became president. All she does is she's my errand girl. I ask her to do something and she does it. But now she feels like we've thrown her away. It's like Fredo in The Godfather. Boys, roll.
Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart.
That's Hillary. Hillary's Fredo. I'm smart. I can be president. I can be successful. Why did I have to lose to Barack in 2008? I want respect. I want respect. My friends, tomorrow, you are going to see two criminal gangster clans come together in an unholy alliance blessed by George Soros for the whole world to see. Look at how rotten our governing class has become. When you really think about it, my friends, are we going forward or are we going backward? Do you honestly think this is what our founding fathers intended when they fought a revolution for our country? When they stood there and said, no, we're not going to become like the Bourbons of France. We're not going to become like King George III. We're not going to become like all these other corrupt princes and emperors and kings. I'll tell you this about a king. Say what you want. At least they were patriots. At least they were willing to fight and die for their country. Look at these people at the Clintons this Saturday at their wedding as they eat cake while all of us have to deal with the depression that's now been caused by these liberal Democrats who right now are presiding over this country. My friends, they want us to eat cake. Well, I'll tell you what. Enjoy the wedding, my friends. Enjoy the wedding, because come November, I got a very funny feeling that these Democrats and George Soros aren't going to be in the party boogie mood that they're going to be in tomorrow. And my question to you is a simple one. Why is the mainstream media not looking into the fact that the groom's father is a convict, that the groom's father is a jailbird, and more than that? Do you think that this wedding is a symbol of the gangster regime that we now have in Washington? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this justice as a gift on my daughter's wedding day.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to Frank in New York on line three. Frank, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Jeff.
How are you, Frank?
You're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks.
I wanted to say that there's never been a job that's ever been created or saved by President Obama, and I want to explain why. We all heard about Caterpillar laying off thousands of people. He didn't save one of those jobs. We heard about IBM laying off thousands of people. He didn't save one of those jobs. We now have electric automobiles with batteries that have to be charged. You're not going to go to the local gas station to get your battery charged. We should have an outlet at the curb ready to be used for anybody who buys an electric car. And all of these things could have been done by the unemployed. They could have been trained as electricians. All of those people could have had jobs created by President Obama. And there isn't one outlet in front of anybody's house to charge an electric battery-operated car. The last point that I want to make, and it's very important, all these enemies of America, and we know who they all are, somebody should put them into a book, a biography of America haters. It'll be a bestseller. Their pictures should be shown, and why we should not have any respect for those people. Those people shouldn't even be able to go out and go get a slice of pizza.
Frank, I want to thank you so much for that call. You've touched on so many good points. Dr. Savage has called for the recreation of the House Un-American Activities Committee. And I completely agree with him. We have enemies at home, in our federal government, in our corporate elite, in our cultural elite, in our political elite, that are destroying America from within. And we need a thorough investigation. Have you noticed nobody looks into George Soros' activities? Nobody looks into Al Gore's activities. Look at this guy, Kenneth Feinberg, who's going to oversee that massive BP slush fund, that $20 billion fund. Nobody looks into how he's going to benefit from that. Nobody looks into any of this. And you touched on something, Frank, that's very important. When they bailed out the automakers, what did conservatives like myself warn? When the government gets involved, they're going to start making political decisions on how to make cars. Now, go to michaelsavage.com. It's the lead story. They've come out with the Volt. It's a green energy car. And you know what? It's a bust. It doesn't work properly. And that's being funded by our taxpayer dollars. My friends, it's one big scam. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for... Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Do you see the marriage tomorrow of Chelsea Clinton and Mark Mezvinsky as essentially the marriage of rival gangster families? Is this now the symbol of the American ruling class? Socialist gangsters marrying one another? 1-800-449-8255. Members of the Savage Nation, in an exclusive for all of you, it looks like we know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow when Rahm Deadfish Emanuel pays his respects to the godfather Bill Clinton. Boys, roll the clip.
Don Corleone, I am honored and grateful that you have invited me to your daughter's wedding on the day of your daughter's wedding. And I hope that their first child be a masculine child. I pledge my ever-ending loyalty for your daughter's bridal purse.
Thank you, Luca. My most valued friend.
Don Corleone, I'm going to leave you now because I know you are busy.
Thank you, Rahm. Thank you very much. Thank you. You're a very dear, loyal friend, Rahm.
My friends, would you love to be at that wedding tomorrow? Because I got to tell you the truth. I wouldn't go to that wedding. I kid you not. If my paper held a gun to my head and literally and said to me, either you go to that wedding or we are going to terminate your employment at the Washington Times, I'd say, you know what, guys, fire me. To be surrounded with all these leftist thugs sitting around with all that ostentatious, gaudy display of wealth. Just the $11,000 wedding cake would make me throw up. Seriously, think of all those poor children in Africa. Hell, think of the poor children in America. Forget Africa. Under this regime, we're becoming like Africa. When you see this kind of an ostentatious wedding, is this not the politics of the third world? Is this not how third world dictators behave? I mean, only thing missing is what? Naked women coming out of the wedding cake. What is it? A tiger? You want to display a tiger on the wedding on the wedding floor? I mean, that's the only thing missing. Literally, what are they going to have? Hillary's going to feed Bill with grapes. Is that going to be the shtick at the tomorrow's wedding? We are becoming like a third world banana republic. Even our politics is becoming that of a third world banana republic. Today, on the House floor, you have Congressman Anthony Weiner, that leftist Democrat hack from New York, who literally, this is like something out of Kenya. I mean, the only thing he didn't do was jump across, run across the aisle and beat up Peter King. For all of you out there, there is now a bill to give medical and health care assistance to 9/11 responders, the firemen, the police officers who rushed on those burning buildings that fateful day. And many of them have gotten glass in their lungs, smoke in their lungs, asbestos in their lungs. In other words, they're suffering serious health effects because of that. And so now there's this bill, largely bipartisan, to help pay for these medical costs. But the Democrats, being Democrats, the good socialists that they are, they had to load it up with a lot of pork, a lot of earmarks, a lot of spending. And so Peter King, congressman from New York, says, well, hold on now. This has nothing to do with police officers and firefighters who need medical help. This is about you Democrats loading up a bill with pork. And look at Anthony Weiner. Honestly, this is like Kenya. I thought he was going to come and start beating him up right there on the House floor. Here is Congressman Anthony Weiner losing his mind. Boys, roll
yes
the clip.
If you believe yes. You vote in favor of something you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman is wrong. The gentleman is providing cover for his colleagues rather than doing the right thing. It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes. It is a shame. A shame. If you believe this is a bad idea to provide health care, then vote no. But don't give me the cowardly view that, oh, if it was a different procedure, the gentleman will observe regular order and sit down. I will not. The gentleman will sit. The gentleman is correct in sitting. I will not stand here and listen to my colleagues say, oh, if only I had a different procedure that allows us to stall, and vote no. Instead of standing up and defending your colleagues and voting no on this humane bill, you should urge them to vote yes, something the gentleman has not done.
That's very nice. Oh, that's very dignified. Oh, that's worthy of a democracy there, huh? It reminds you of Venezuela. Hell, it reminds you of Mexico. That's what they do in the Mexican Congress. Arriba, arriba, arriba. And they start beating. Arriba, arriba. And they start punching each other. They're just beating each other right there over a bill. That's right. They even take a chair, smack it over his head. You have third world weddings, third world deficits, a third world border, a third world Congress. Look at what the Democrats are doing to us. What you are seeing under Obama is the third worldization of America. This guy, Anthony Weiner, is a joke. I mean, literally, whatever you think of the merits of the case, this is how you behave. This is how you behave. You're beyond a four-year-old. You're beyond a four-year-old. This is how, what are you, a member of a gang? Is this how we're going to start behaving at one another? What's next? You're going to bring in a gun the next time? What are you going to do? Bring a gun? Point a gun at him? I don't like the way you're behaving. Oh, I'm going to shoot you right now, hombre. My friends, it is long past due that these Democrats learn their lesson and learn it well. This is the people's house, and you conduct yourself with the decorum and dignity becoming of a free people. This is not some third world dictatorship where you can stand there and berate your opponent or berate your political rival. Is this what George Washington intended? Is this what Thomas Jefferson intended? I think about the boys that landed in Normandy. Is this what they died for? So a guy like Anthony Weiner could disgrace the House, or you can have a buffoon like Barack Obama, Barack the buffoon, go on The View? What's next, Jerry Springer? What's next, Maury Povich? How long? Wait, a food fight? Is that what we're going to have now? Literally food fights and start beating each other and then have Jerry Springer come in and break up Barack, get Rahm Emanuel maybe in the nude and pull him apart as well? Hey, easy, easy, Rahm, easy. Oh, or Anthony Weiner? Hey, back off, Anthony, back off. My friends, the circus show should come to an end. The earlier, the better. Let's go to Tavares in North Carolina on line 10. Tavares, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me. I have to disagree with you, my man, about the Chelsea Clinton wedding.
Go ahead, shoot.
I pretty much grew up with Chelsea. And
you grew up with Chelsea?
I don't think she has any gangster in her. I don't see it, never saw it. I just see her as a
Tavares, hold on. What do you mean you grew up with Chelsea? Like, you knew her? You know her? You went to school with her?
When I was a kid, she was a kid. You know, I'm 32. I'm not sure how old she is. I think she's like 33, 31, something like that. I'm not sure.
Oh, but, you mean you grew up with her? Like what? You watched her on television?
Yeah, when I was a kid and Bill was in office, you know, I used to see Chelsea, you know. I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay, I got you.
There was no gangster in her. She went to college. She did her due. She did what she had to do as far as, you know, building herself up. She found a man that she loved. I got laid off right now. You know, I'm laid off. And I can care less. I got laid off about a month ago, Jeff. Worked 4 years straight, never had a day off until I took my vacation. I can care less if her cake costs $200,000. I'm going to congratulate her. If your daughter got married and her cake costs $2, I would still congratulate her. I'm not an envious person.
I got your point. No, Tavares, look, I'm not an envious person either. But I mean, do you honestly think the Clintons earned their money legitimately? Bill Clinton has prostituted the White House. He makes his money charging $200,000 a speech. He is using the dignity of the White House to personally enrich himself. For example, Harry Truman refused to take a dime to speak publicly. And I'll tell you exactly what he said, Tavares. Too many Americans died to defend freedom in this country and what the People's House represents, to quote, for me to prostitute it and make money off of it. My pension is enough. Remember, when you are the president of the United States, you are the servant of the American people. You are there to serve us. It is an office of dignity, of sacrifice, of service. It is not for you to become a political whore, for you to go to the United Arab Emirates or Saudi Arabia or Qatar and literally bow to the Arab oil sheiks and stand there and charge $200,000 a pop as they line your pockets while your wife is Secretary of State. To me, this is unconscionable. His wife is in charge of American foreign policy. Her husband is making millions. How did they get all their money? They're now worth at least $35 million. They left the White House bankrupt. They left the White House bankrupt. In the last 10 years, he's made over $35 million. You think the Saudis are paying him because Bill is so brilliant? Because somehow Bill Clinton knows how to mastermind an incredible escape from a political scandal? You honestly think the Saudi sheiks respect the guy who gets oral sex in the White House? They look at him and they see an American for sale. They see a president for sale. And they're sitting around and saying, we'll pay him $200,000. We want access. That's what we want. We'll pay him speech after speech. But when it comes to Israel, when it comes to waging the war against terrorism, you are not going to single out Saudi Arabia. You are not going to speak truth to power. You are not going to win this war. You are not going to offend the Muslim world. That's what they've done. They have bought the White House. And Bill Clinton has sold himself. Hillary Clinton has sold herself. Now they're there with George Soros, that man who's made billions, betting against the American dollar. He's bankrupting countries. This man is the biggest crook on the planet. And you're going to tell me that she's marrying this man whose father is a gangster, he's a crook, 5 years in prison, and there's nothing despicable about it, distasteful about it? All that illegitimate money? All of these illegitimate connections? Look, I have nothing against Chelsea Clinton. I don't know her. Frankly, Tavares, you don't know her either. I can tell you this. She's been given a very easy life because of her parents' political contacts. Every job she's got, not because, hey, she's not at that hedge fund because Chelsea Clinton's brilliant. It's because they can have access to her father and mother. She is the child of a privileged aristocrat. That's all she is. It's a new form of feudalism. And so to me, you shouldn't love your chains. To me, you should say, as a self-governing, self-respecting people, we do not bow to the Saudis. We do not bow to George Soros. And you don't pimp the White House. I'm a capitalist. Make your money, but make it the honest way. Don't make it by sucking the blood of American people and living off the fat of the land. Let's go to Mike in Dallas, Texas. Mike, I got about a minute. Go, baby.
Yeah, hello, Jeff. I agree with you 100% about Clinton and the wedding. All that money that they're spinning is just for the left-wing media. And besides, Clinton's, like you say, a notorious gangster. Look at Clinton. He appointed that judge in Arizona.
Well, there you go, Mike. I mean, that's all that needs to be said. Thanks. I mean, there you go. You want to see what an anti-American leftist Bill Clinton is? Look at the judges he appointed. But it's more than that. I mean, think about it. Look, you want to spend $100 million on your wedding. That's your business. But look how gaudy it is. I mean, just look to me how distasteful it is. Literally, crime families. Look, I was in Florida 8 years ago. There was Michael Bolton, the pop singer, at a hotel. We were there at a conference. He was singing for a local Florida gangster. And it was the same thing. $4,000-$6,000 wedding cake. I mean, open bar. It was $250 a plate for the food. I mean, you name it, they spared no expense. They didn't spend $4 million. But you had to get Michael Bolton. You had to get the finest wine. You had to get the finest everything. As they say in Eastern Europe, easy come, easy go. When you steal the money, it's easy to spend like a drunken sailor. My friends, what you are seeing tomorrow on Saturday is the celebration by two gangster families, two crooks, and frankly, Bill Clinton, George Soros, and Hillary Clinton should be behind bars rather than us celebrating them as the new American dynasty. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to a couple of phone calls while we still have some time. Mike in Houston on line 3. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Mike.
Thanks a lot. What I am going to say is that, you know, as an American with full rights to spend whatever she wants to spend on that wedding, you know, she has 100% right, you know, to spend $100 million or $5 million or $200 million, whatever she wants. The reason I say is that, you know, I would have appreciated your criticism if, you know, I had heard you that you criticized George Bush's daughters for spending that much on their wedding, you know, $2-3 million a couple of years ago.
Mike, to be honest with you, that's completely mistaken because their total for their wedding was $100,000. They did it at the ranch in Texas, in Crawford, Texas. It was a much more low-key affair. I mean, now, look, this is a $4 million wedding. Now, look, is she entitled to it? Look, I'm not a socialist. I'm not going to prevent them from having a wedding. But, I mean, you know, we can morally criticize people. Just because you buy something doesn't mean it's the morally right thing to do. You know, I could spend $1 million on pornography tapes. I mean, I'm entitled to do it. It's a stupid waste of my money. It's an immoral waste of my money. Now, Mike, these are the very same people who champion the poor. That's all I've been hearing from Bill and Hillary Clinton, from George Soros. All of those high-powered Democrats take from the rich, give to the poor. Tell me, that $4 million, that could feed a lot of mouths. That could help a lot of poor people in America. But no, they want to tax me. They want to tax you. They want to take our money and give it to the poor. But when it comes to their money, oh, suddenly they can spend it how they like. Then it's $11,000 wedding cakes. Then it's $1 million engagement rings. Then it's $4 million weddings. Oh, then it's then you got to have Lady Gaga show up and do a little show for everybody. This is, to me, what is most galling. It is the liberal hypocrisy. It's like John Kerry with his stupid yacht. Oh, he has to register it in Rhode Island. He can't register it in Massachusetts because that'll mean paying $500,000 in taxes. So he has to evade taxes. But he wants me to pay through the nose. He wants you to pay through the nose. This is what disgusts me about these liberals, is they stand there all high and mighty, lecturing us, telling us how greedy we are, how we have to change our ways, when in fact they're the ones who have been plundering this country. It's Bill that's going out prostituting the White House. It's George Soros that's bankrupting America and trying to bet against the American dollar. Oh, but now when it comes to Chelsea, all of a sudden, hey, for my daughter, nothing but the best, $4 million. Tell me, Mr. President, if you're such a socialist, if you're such a redistributionist, give it to the poor. You won't, because you're a hypocrite. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Michael Savage Show. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Savage.